if you've just joined us, you're watching Stockage, and joining me in studio this evening are Nick Kunze from Bridge Fund Managers and Chantal Marks from FNB Securities. If you'd like to send questions, please do. SMS Stock in the question to 41392, email stockwatch@bdtv.co.za, or tweet us at BusinessDayTV using the hashtag Stockwatch. Chantal, Nick, nice to see you both this evening. Chantal, if I may start with you, we managed to claw back some of yesterday's losses, but unfortunately nowhere close to everything that we gave up.
Yeah, I mean, it was just nice to see a green day.
we'll take it.
Yeah, and again, it was Naspers really coming to the fore, clawing back some of the losses from yesterday, because Tencent's reaction was nearly as extreme as Naspers' reaction yesterday. And I guess guys seeing the value in the stock, it really, at around 3,100 Rand, it really doesn't look expensive. It's still at that deep discount to Tencent, and it still values the rump of the assets at absolutely nothing.
I mean, Nick, was I think that was some of the surprise that we saw yesterday, is where Naspers closed in relation to how Tencent was affected on the day, although the results came out after the market closed, which is one of the issues, I suppose. So do you think there's maybe still a bit more catching up to do? Although the fact that they only rallied sort of 2-odd% today suggests that they're under kind of in a new range, that they won't get back up to where they were before the Tencent results were released.
I think there's a lot of moving parts with regards to Naspers and Tencent, and in fact a lot of the move came after the management call yesterday afternoon as well. So as much as we had the large move at 2 o'clock when the numbers were released, was also the management call added to that, and then we've also had obviously a lot of sort of tech news out of the States too. So I mean, there's so many moving parts in this tech space right now, and Naspers is literally, it's just flapping in the wind, you know, whatever it literally is at the moment, whatever Tencent and the FANGs do at the moment.
Yeah, which is unfortunate for us. So
correct.
Because
yes.
Our entire market is kind of flapping in the wind as
the
well.
The South African FANG market.
Exactly.
Yeah. Which is possibly a great argument for active management as opposed to passive at this
yes.
point in
yes,
time.
Yes,
more ETFs on the show.
Yeah, I mean, one of the fund managers yesterday also just mentioned that the ETFs must be like bleeding out right now. And I mean, for active managers, it's positive for us. But obviously, you don't want the market to be under this kind of pressure, because to be honest, the breadth of the JSE market and the breadth of trading is so small right now, and there's such a small number of stocks actually holding up this market. Once the kind of the bleeding starts, who knows where that contagion will take it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, if we talk about contagion, although I don't know if this has got anything to do with anything other than itself, if that makes sense, is Tiger Brands. Mm. That had an absolute horror day. So down, what, almost 9% by the close?
Yeah.
Nick, the trading update was pretty grim. So was the share price reaction, I guess, worthy of the trading update?
I think all of the above. I think it was the trading update was terrible. I think a lot of people had factored in quite a bit of hope. They'd done their numbers. They'd worked out that the listeria crisis had been contained, and it was 3% of the EPS, whatever it was going to be. But people forget that the biggest story is there, and I think you kind of got a flavor with the retail sales a day or so before, and again reiterated from management of Tiger Brands that the South African consumer is under pressure. You use all the cliches, you know, the environment going forward is going to be challenging, etc. It just wasn't a good story. I mean, it, you know, HEPS to be between 22% and 37% down. It says much was factored in the price after the Vistaria crisis. This says that actually, in fact, the whole business is tough in South Africa. It's a tough place right there.
Yeah, and I mean, I think this is actually quite bad news for the fruit producers generally, because what this also shows is that the environment generally for them is really poor. Demand for their products is probably not great, and they might be getting squeezed by the retailers, because the big, strong, big market share retailers are probably squeezing them for price as well. And Tiger Brands have had a particularly tough time in personal care, and they're actually having to take an impairment on that business as well. So just a really poor update, way in excess of what we were anticipating, factoring even a kind of worst case scenario for the listeriosis outbreak.
Yeah, which is quite interesting if you compare what happened to Tiger Brands as a company that is exposed to the consumer market to Truworths. And now, maybe is it simply because it just wasn't in the price, that there was too much expectation in the Tiger Brands price versus that of Truworths, where maybe people have lowered their expectations exponentially, that when it came out with results which I didn't think were great at all, its shares actually held their own.
Yeah, I mean, it was bang in line with expectations, and they guided for it as well. They guided quite well for it, and they had a really poor sales update a few months back, so you kind of had an idea that it wasn't going to be great. And coupled with that, the actual rating of the share, so if you just look at something like the PE, Truworth is trading on like an 11 times PE. It's not really factoring in a lot of growth at the moment. Whereas Tiger Brands, even after the fall from the listeriosis outbreak, was still sitting in kind of mid-teens on its PE. So its rating was factoring in a lot more growth than Truworth.
I think I think with Tiger Brands, a lot of people they kind of focused too much on the listeriosis debacle that happened, and they said, right, let's have a bit of a hope trade here. Let's work out this is how much it's going to affect it, etc., etc. Meanwhile, as these results said, the rest of the business was actually suffering as well. And as Chantal said, it's not cheap. It's in the upper to 17, 18 PE. Mm. So,
what about the other retailers? So the Truworths or the Woolworths, because they all had a bit of a recovery today. And if you looked at Truworths results, do you think they're starting to kind of bottom out? That maybe now would be the time to be picking up shares?
I think they're bottoming out, but the concern that we have is certainly that the South African consumer is having a tough time. And as much as these shares have bottomed out and they've been muddling along the bottom and kind of gone nowhere, really. I mean, look at Truworths on the graph.
Although, actually, that's quite volatile for a share that's gone nowhere.
But if you look at it, I mean, it's dragged back to 2013. So it's a little bit of graph bias on behalf of Stockwatch. But I think to a certain extent, yes, they probably have bottomed out. But I mean, it doesn't mean they're going to shoot up in a hurry. The consumer's under pressure.
Yeah, I mean, they could just hover around the bottom for a really long
time. Your skewed graph.
And I mean, just added to that, I was just looking at the quarter one GDP numbers, trying to get a better idea of what we can expect in quarter two. And if you look at the split between durables, semi-durables, and non-durable goods, food actually is still holding up a bit because it is a lot more defensive when the environment is poor. But semi-durable goods, that is actually where the pain really comes through, and that is specifically clothing. So I think there's probably still some more pain to come. And as you rightly mentioned, that retail sales number, not looking that hot.
No. And I suppose then you've also got to think about some of the retail property shares, I would have thought as well. Those who have staked a lot in the retail sector, the funds that went heavily into the retail sector, maybe you should be kind of broadening your circumspection to
look,
them
we've got,
as well.
We've got Resilience Our Tomorrow, so more become clearer.
Well, they're living on an H&M and Dis-Chem prayer at the moment.
What about Bidcorp? And the question is Bidcorp due for a correction? So if we're talking about shares that may be overpriced, they're trading at a PE of more than 20 times, and they're due to release results soon, and there's no trading update. So company, remember, is only obliged to put out a trading update when there's a swing either way in their
20%
in their earnings expectations. So I suppose at least we don't expect earnings to fall
by more than
20%, but it does imply that between 0 to 20% anything could be happening. Would that be enough for a share of on its particular PE?
I don't know. Just because it hasn't sold up doesn't mean that you need to short it and correct it. I mean, what is the question from the viewer?
Are they due for a correction, given where their PE is and given that they haven't put out a trading?
I suppose if you had to look at it in the sort of SA basket, yes, they haven't sold off as much. But in the same token, they also got a fairly defensive stance about them as well. I mean, where do you put your money at the moment? I mean, as you pointed out, these retailers have been under pressure. The property shares are probably under pressure. The banks have been under pressure. You know, funny enough, something like a Bidcorp is probably, it doesn't have a very high beta relative to the index either. So it's got a fairly defensive stance to it.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at Bidcorp specifically, it's in that food services space in the UK and Europe, right? So you're looking at developed market exposure. You're looking at European levels of growth. You're looking at European levels of nominal growth. And this is basically a kind of a worst case scenario outcome for a Bidcorp that's still actually quite acquisitive and growing quite well in those markets. We wouldn't expect a more than 20% increase from a stock like Bidcorp. You'd be very happy and satisfied with between 5 and 10% growth out of Bidcorp, because you are getting that developed market exposure. It is a little bit more defensive than the rest of the sector. And of course, it's a rand hedge in the SA space. So it does have an elevated PE.
Okay, so is its PE justified? Then, you know, if you expect 5 to 10% earnings growth,
yeah,
is a stock of Bidcorp's quality on a PE of over 20, then are you comfortable with that?
Yeah, I mean, as you mentioned, the word quality really comes into mind, yeah, and because it is defensive, it reduces the overall risk of your portfolio, and volatility around Bidcorp is a lot less, so that probably does justify a slightly higher PE.
It's beta relative, the index is low.
Okay. What about BHP Billiton? So the resources shares got absolutely clobbered yesterday. You saw what happened to the copper price, Dr. Copper as it's known, platinum, although BHP Billiton isn't exposed to platinum. But in the short term, would the panel feel that a short is a good position to have on this share? And I'm looking to understand how the 23rd of August USA-China tariff date has a play here. We saw the market react with today's news of talks towards the end of August. Would BHP Billiton get caught up in the trade war between the USA and China?
Only if it impacts global economic growth and demand for commodities. So that's kind of where it comes in.
Yeah, I mean, anything to do with BHP Billiton, Glencore, Kumba, iron ore, you name it, anything to do with that right now is at the pure whim of what the dollar's doing. And the dollar's been on absolute charge. And that's, you know, these commodities have been selling off purely because of the dollar play. Mm. And that's, of course, is at a knock-on effect with emerging markets, with the likes of the lira, et cetera. It's all about, for me, it's all about the dollar. And if the dollar continues to strengthen, the likes of BHP Billiton are going to be under pressure. Saying that, you know, dollar...
Saying that, having a look at the BHP Billiton share price, it actually has held its own remarkably
Saying that, yes.
Well.
Look, BHP Billiton's got a 20-odd% exposure to petroleum too, which is slightly different to the rest of the commodities space. And oil is still up and, you know, it's sort of higher than the... If you look at something like platinum sitting on a multi-decade lows and gold sitting at levels we haven't seen for 18 months... Oil is not there. So BHP Billiton perhaps is, I'd be a little bit careful shorting BHP Billiton because of the fifth of its income is derived from petroleum. So I'd be a little bit careful.
Yeah, and I mean, global economic growth, it doesn't seem to be falling off a cliff anytime soon. I mean, there are certainly tail risks, but you are still seeing quite robust growth in the US and Europe still picking up a little bit. China is holding up, even though the rate of growth is declining. You don't frown at over 6% growth. It's still the absolute demand for commodities, particularly for something like iron ore, is still growing. And the reality is that these stocks are in a much different position than they were the last time that global growth started slowing. They have very firm balance sheets. They haven't gone on a capex binge. So these stocks are actually in a pretty good space. I would be very careful to short Billiton and Anglo's at this point in time,
just because
of the health of those companies.
Just to add into what Chantal's saying as well, and that also that dollar play too. I mean, the dollar index sitting at levels we haven't seen for a decade and a half or something like that, and we've had 6 weeks in a row where the open interest on the sort of dollar shorts and the dollar longs, everyone is long the dollar. At some point, that's going to turn, and if the dollar does start to weaken, then these commodities are going to get a kick, and BHP Billiton's going to run up with it.
Okay. We'll leave it there for the moment. If you'd like to send questions, please do SMS us, stock in the question to 41392, email stockwatch@bdtv.co.za, or tweet us. Getting on to stock picks this evening, you two are being consistent, dare I say, boring in picking the same shares you did last time, but that's fine.
Caught up.
Sometimes I remember things, sometimes I don't. But Nick Aspin is once again your stock pick.
So boring, yes. Second time on the show with it. But no, we like it. It's got earnings coming on 30th September. We think it also at the current environment, it's a little bit of a defensive play. It's been trading sideways at 260 something for I don't know how long. Got to be very careful of your Stockwatch graphs; they look a little bit biased. And they've got their milk business. They're looking at selling as well. A lot of interest in that. They're going to look at paying back in their debt too.
Although, would it be worth their while to sell the infant milk business?
Well, they're talking about a fetching anywhere between 16 or whatever the current 16 or 18 billion rand, whatever the rand dollar is at the moment. I mean, 16 billion rand for the milk business is significant, considering what they put into it. So they'll go straight back to paying back debt too, which I think has been a concern to, to recent shareholders as well.
Okay, so sticking with your Aspens.
Sticking with
and
Aspen.
Chantal, sticking with your ShopRites. Just because they're at the on the right end of the bargaining table, if you're talking about the pressure the Tiger Brands is under?
Well, they're not only on the right end of the bargaining table, but they're right, they're at the right level of list of important stuff to buy. So if you are a consumer, in South Africa, you're spending approximately 53 rand per every 100 rand on food. And if you are under pressure and the consumer is under pressure, this ShopRite is probably one of those stocks that will really benefit from a down trading kind of environment. Apart from that, they are still gaining market share, particularly from the informal space. And we think that there's a turnaround story playing out in the rest of Africa as well, particularly in Angola, which came under a significant amount of pressure the last time they reported results. And then technically speaking as well, there's some really decent support in at 205. So, and then even if it break slightly lower, you've got support again at 200. So it seems like a reasonable level to start thinking about investing in the stock, and I'd watch it closely and maybe look at some of those trigger levels to get involved.
All right. Chantal, Nick, thanks very much for joining us as always. Nick Kuntz is from Bridge Fund Managers. Chantal Marks is from F&B Securities. And we will be back with more of your stock-related questions on Monday. So have a good evening.